Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hi, this is Bill. Welcome to this week's show. We're going to approach things a little bit differently this week because I got some things I want to talk about. In addition to having an interview, our interview this week is with three-time Olympian Arlene Semeco, who is also a licensed nutritionist. She has a master's degree in clinical nutrition as well as being a certified sports nutrition expert. And we'll be talking with her about how her training has changed over the years, competing in three different Olympics, and talk about some other things. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Before, I have several announcements I'd like to make. The first of which is that I received an email the other day from our good friend Marty Klein from blindyoga.net, who we featured on episode number 7 just a few weeks ago. If you didn't hear it, go and check it out in the archives. Marty is offering 5 free sets of his Beginning Yoga for the Blind program. And all you have to do to enter the drawing is go to blindyoga.net and fill out the form. And they're going to do the drawing over Memorial Day weekend. And they're going to give away 5 sets of the yoga CD package. They're only going to accept 50 entries into the drawing. So if you're interested, jump on that. That's going to blindyoga.net, and good luck. My second announcement is that due to a whole lot of really positive response to the recorded audio programs that I've made available on blindcafe.net, I've added several of those programs to my website, kosiabafitness.com. So if you go to the website and click on the link for free stuff, you'll find 4 or 5 new audio programs. They're not new. Actually, they're about 1.5 years old. We originally released them just for the members of blindcafe.net. And because they seem to get a whole lot of use, they've been downloaded hundreds of times, and people like them and have gotten good results with them, I decided I'd share them with all of you. So again, go to kosiabafitness.com. Click on free stuff and check out the various audio files there. There's a beginning workout program, a second beginning workout program, a program devoted purely to stretching, one to help with neck pain and tension, and some other good things. I'll be adding more to that section of the website as time goes on, but go and check those out. My third announcement is actually a request for help from you guys. I've had numerous inquiries about apps and gadgets, fitness trackers, the Fitbit, things of that nature. People are inquiring about them, want to know my recommendations, my suggestions, which one I think is the best, which ones are the most accessible. And I'm not able to answer that question. I'm an old school kind of guy. I'm a dinosaur. The only thing I use is a little app I found called Kettlebell Swing Timer, which I have on my iPhone. And I use that both timing intervals in my class that I teach, as well as in my own workouts. But generally, I don't use gadgets. I find them distracting. But I know a lot of you do use them, and there's a lot of you out there that like to research things. So I'm asking you for your help. I want to hear about your experiences with various fitness apps or gadgets, both good and bad, so I can compile a list of recommendations to help my listeners. I'm not above asking for help if it's a subject I don't know anything about, and I don't know anything about any of these things. Personally, they just don't interest me. I see a tremendous amount of value in them for some people, but not for me. So those of you that have some experience with any of these gadgets or apps, please shoot me an email or do an iReport with the iBlink radio app if you're listening to us on a mobile device. Now I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about goals. There are 2 times in the year that people get very motivated. The first, of course, is New Year's, with the New Year's resolutions, most of which fail miserably. But that's one time of the year that people get very focused on setting goals. And the beginning of the summer is another time when people get focused on setting fitness goals. I want to look good for the beach. I want to be able to get into a bathing suit. I want to look good for summer. Let's lose some weight. When I had my gym, I made the majority of my money for the year in the period of January 1st to beginning of February when I dealt with all the New Year's resolution people. And again, the beginning of the summer, you'd get this wave of people that decided, I want to be able to get into a bathing suit this summer. I want to go to the beach this summer. I want to look good in less clothes. So those were the two times that people get very motivated. And unfortunately, a lot of those people fail. And I want to talk about why. And I want to offer you some suggestions as to how to achieve your goals. First of all, I recently read, and I don't know how true this statistic is, but I recently read that only 20% of the population ever chooses to set goals for themselves, whether it be fitness goals or life goals, business goals, work goals, whatever type of goals. And out of that 20%, supposedly 70% never achieve their goals. That's really amazing to me. It's really sad to me as well. If you take a carefully thought out plan and follow that plan, you can and will achieve your goals. Now, what we're going to talk about is applicable to fitness, to your work, to your home life, to virtually anything in your life, but we're going to gear it towards fitness because that's what we're all about here. The first step in achieving your goals is clearly defining your goals. I'm going to give you some examples of some good goals and some bad goals. I want to get in better shape. I want to feel better. I want to look better. I want to make more money. I want to be happier. Those are all very vague. Very, very vague. Now here are some good goals. I want to lose 20 pounds by this summer. I want to be able to bench press 50 pounds more by my birthday. I want to go to Europe by the time I'm 30. What makes these goals different from the other goals? They're specific and they have time frames. So you know what you want to do and you know when you want to do it by. I'd like to get in better shape someday. Someday never comes. We all know that. And what does better shape mean? Does that mean lose body fat? Does that mean become more flexible? Does that mean lower my cholesterol? Does that mean become more physically active? Healthier, in better shape, is very, very vague. You have to set specific goals. So let's say we have our specific goals. Like I said before, we need a time frame because eventually or someday never comes. Now, there's nothing wrong in not achieving all of your goal by that time frame, by that deadline. But if you have a deadline, most people, myself included, work harder when we have that goal, that deadline. A perfect example is our guest today, Arlene, is preparing for her fourth Olympic Games. That's her goal. That's quite a goal. Your goals, obviously, for most of you, are going to be much smaller. Lose 10 pounds, lose 20 pounds, look fantastic by that high school reunion or by that wedding this summer. Increase your strength. Achieve the next level of whatever belt it is in the martial art you may participate in. Get your mortgage paid off 5 years ahead of time. These are all good goals because they have a specific accomplishment and a specific time frame. Now, once you have the goals and you know when you want to hit them by, now there's an important word in that sentence, when you want to hit them, not when you'd like to hit them. When you'd like to do it or when you hope to do it is about as good as someday. You have to want it. You have to need it. It has to be important to you. I'd kind of like to, is a sure sign of failure. I need to. I must. That's got a real good chance of achieving success. So once we have our time frame and we have our goal, the next step is to create a plan of action, a roadmap, if you will. Now, going back to when I was a kid, every summer my parents would go on a road trip. We live here in Florida, and most summers we would go back to Connecticut to visit the relatives. I'm sure a lot of you growing up had a similar situation. Now, my father knew the way to Connecticut. You go north. But he didn't just jump in the car and go. He made his plan on how to get there. He went to the AAA, and he got his little map book. I think they called it a triptych. And we followed that map. That little map book showed the newest roads, showed where the rest stops, the hotels, the restaurants were. Now, I'm sure if we just got in the car and headed north, we'd have made it to Connecticut eventually, but we'd have probably gotten lost along the way. We would have gotten frustrated. I'm sure my mother and father would have been bickering about things, but we didn't do that. We followed the plan. And another factor of that is we followed the plan that somebody who knew more than we did created. And sometimes that's a very good idea. There's nothing wrong with asking for help from people who know more, seeking out information, having somebody help you create that plan, and then help you stick to that plan with all the information clearly laid out for you. So we have got our goal, we have got our time frame, and we've got our plan. What does a plan mean? Well, depending upon your goal, your plan is going to probably consist of A, nutrition program, and B, a workout program. These have to be programs that don't just look like something cool you saw on the internet. They have to be programs that are geared towards achieving your goal. If your goal is to get stronger and you choose to do a whole lot of cardio and light weights and stretching and that type of thing, you're not going to achieve your goal. If your goal is to lose body fat and you're doing a slow, heavy strength training type of program, you're not on the best plan to achieve your goal. So you have to figure out what your goal is and then figure out the most effective way of achieving it. Then we have to take that goal, whatever that goal is, and break it down into smaller goals, bite-sized pieces. A to Z. I'm stealing a little Dan John here. A to Z goals are great to have. But if we don't break them down to A to B, A to C, A to D goals, we're going to get overwhelmed. Let's take an example. Let's say George needs to lose 100 pounds. Now, 100 pounds sounds like a huge amount of weight. And sadly, there are a lot of people out there that probably do need to lose that much weight. But let's say George has decided it's time, he's had enough. I want to lose 100 pounds. What are we going to do? Okay, first we're going to find a diet that George can actually stick to. Second, we're going to create an exercise program that's geared towards burning body fat, making him healthy, making him strong, but geared towards burning body fat. And third, we're going to lay out a game plan with goals of A to B. Okay, the ultimate goal in 1 year, let's say 1 year is the time frame, is to lose 100 pounds. That seems overwhelming. It seems insurmountable. But let's say, okay, George, let's shoot for that first 10. Let's set a goal of losing that first 10 pounds in 2 weeks. That doesn't seem so insurmountable. That doesn't seem so difficult. 10 pounds isn't that much. And we all know, even people that don't exercise and don't diet, know that when you start a new diet, you drop water weight right at the beginning. So you see a quick drop right in the very beginning. So that first 10 pounds shouldn't be too overwhelming. So we get to that 2 week mark. George gets on the scale. He's down 12 pounds. We're doing great. Okay. Now let's see if we can drop another 5 in the next 2 weeks. That's, I guess you'd call it our B to C goal. 2 weeks comes and we're down a total of 18 pounds. So he dropped 6 pounds. Now we go again. All right, we've got some momentum going. We're losing weight. Now George is excited. The diet's easier to stick to because he's seeing results. His clothes are getting baggy. He's feeling good about it. The workouts aren't so bad because we're seeing results. There's a nice payoff. We're getting somewhere. And we continue to set those little goals so we can achieve them. The worst thing to have happen is to fail. Because if we set our mind up to fail, we're done. Successes breed success. Failures breed failures. So if we build on a bunch of little goals, 5 pounds, 2 pounds, 3 pounds, whatever they may be, and we've got 7 weeks in a row that we've hit our goal, we've got some momentum going, we've got some excitement going, and we're going to make it. We are going to make it. Now, if you look at that Z goal, 100 pounds, we're down to, 70, 60 pounds? We can do it. There's no doubt we can do it. It's easy to work harder. It's easier to stick to the diet. And it's the goal is within sight. In the beginning, 100 pounds just seemed unreachable. But now it's within sight. And yeah, there are going to be some weeks that we only lose 2 pounds instead of 5. And some weeks that we lose nothing. And then we have to just look at that week and go, okay, let's see if we can figure out why. We don't go, George, you messed up. Don't do that, because if we look at his food journal, we look at his week, his workouts, we'll probably find something. Okay, you had a rough week. You had to work late and you grabbed something from Subway. It said it was low calorie, but okay, that's fine. We don't judge it. We don't criticize it. We just go, okay, that's what we did this week that might have been the problem. We recognize it. So just to recap, we've set a goal. We've created our plan. We've set our time frame. And we've broken the goal down into bite-sized pieces. And this is how we succeed. Every year, after the holidays, I set strength goals for myself to be achieved by my birthday in May. I don't call them New Year's resolutions. I just happen to gear up my training right around the holidays, right after the holidays. Like everyone else does, we get distracted around the holidays and we don't eat as good, don't necessarily work out as hard. And so I usually set that time frame. This year I started before Christmas because I just felt good and wanted a jump start on it, and set my goals towards my birthday. I would like to achieve X, Y, and Z. Now, you can't have too many goals, because if you divide yourself too thin, you're not putting everything into the most important goal. So I did have an X, a Y, and a Z, but I prioritized them. And now it's the beginning of May, so I'm very close to my target date. And I recognize that I'm not quite where I want to be, so I kind of eased up on my Z goal so I could really focus on my X goal. I'm going to throw a nice little trick at you guys that I've offered to people over the years that helps out a lot as well. We have our goal. Let's say it's that class reunion or that wedding that's coming up or whatever it may be. And this goal is more applicable to the ladies than it is to the guys. I've always told women that had a visual change type of goal, body weight goal, or they wanted to be more toned or this or that. I've always told them, go out and buy a new outfit. Spend a little bit more than what you normally would and buy a really nice outfit that's not going to fit you now. That's not going to fit you unless you reach that goal. And then hang it on your bedroom door, hang it on your closet door where you can't miss it. You're going to bump into it every day. It's there as a reminder saying, another 90 days and you're going to fit into me. You better fit into me because you spent a lot of money on me. Now, there's part of the key to why this works and why you shouldn't dig out your favorite little black dress or your favorite pair of skinny jeans. You've already worn them. Been there, done that. I'd love to fit into this dress again. Well, I sure wanted to, but wasn't able to. Put it back in the closet, maybe next time. But if you've got that new outfit hanging there on the door, and you spent a little more money than you felt good about spending, you've got to fit into it. So that's why it has to be a new outfit. It can't be your favorite old outfit. Got to be a new outfit. So that's kind of a reward thing as well. You know, it's good. Losing the weight or achieving the strength goal is a reward, but you also, it helps to set other little rewards for yourself. If I do this, I'm going to do this to indulge myself. Now, the one exception to that rule is the, when I lose 50 pounds, I'm going to go out and eat a pizza and a hot fudge sundae. That's not a good reward for two reasons. One, it's counterproductive. And two, if you've been eating pretty clean for a period of time and you've lost that weight, you're going to probably make yourself sick eating something like that. So if you apply everything that I've suggested here, you have a very, very good chance of achieving your goals, as long as those goals are realistic. I'm never going to bench press 400 pounds. I'm 55 years old. The best I ever did was 285 pounds when I was in my 20s. So for me to set a goal of bench pressing 400 pounds is ludicrous. But for me to decide I'd like to get my bench press back up to in the low 200s, is a reasonable goal. Reasonable goals, not fantasies. That's the key. Set yourself some reasonable goals that you feel confident that you can achieve. Nothing simple, but something you know that with some effort and some determination you can achieve. Then make it the priority in your life and achieve those goals. Keep me appraised as to what you're doing. Shoot me an email. Tell me about your goals. And I'll share some of your goals with my other listeners to help inspire them. One final announcement before we get to today's interview kind of dovetails with what we were just talking about, goal setting. Since I started my online classes on the Blind Cafe a year and a half ago, I've gotten a lot of requests for help from people with exercise and nutrition programs. I've put a lot of time and effort into trying to help people long distance, with some great results and some results that weren't so great. Those people whose results weren't so great were people who gave me, but I can't, but I like. And they're frustrating. And those people didn't hear back from me after one or two emails like that. So I've gotten to the point since we started doing this podcast where I'm just getting too many requests and I can't do them justice. I can't help everybody out there. I can't answer everybody's questions. I wish I could. So what I've decided to do, and a few people have been pushing me towards this for a while and I'm finally making the step forward, is to set up an online coaching service. Still working out all the details and particulars, but basically this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up a nutrition program for you. I'm going to help you set up an exercise program. We're going to work within your parameters. In other words, we're going to start that nutrition program by you telling me what you currently eat, and we're going to make it better. I'm not going to hand you the perfect diet. We're going to talk about what exercise equipment you have access to and what goals you want to achieve. And I'm going to create an exercise program to your specific needs. Nothing I send to you is going to be a cookie cutter. You're not going to get any pre-created workouts or pre-created nutrition plans. Everything is going to be custom made for your needs, your abilities, your limitations, your schedule. Now, I've been training people for over 30 years. But it's always been face-to-face, one-on-one in person. So I'm going to limit this online coaching program to only 10 people so I can make certain that they get everything I have to give them. I'm going to keep the cost as reasonable as I possibly can, because that's always a factor for everybody. But of course, there has to be a fee. You're going to get my time. You're going to get my effort. You're going to get my heart and soul, quite frankly. And I've learned over the years that people appreciate things more if they have to pay for them. If it's free, we don't appreciate it. We take it for granted. So what I'd like everyone out there to do, everyone who has any interest in working with me, send me an email at kosiabafitness@gmail.com. Just give me your contact information and tell me a little about yourself, your goals, and your background. And if you don't mind, give me a phone number rather than just an email, because I do prefer to speak to people directly. And I'm going to sort through those emails, and then I'm going to select the 10 people that I feel are the best fit for me to work with. Because we have to have a good connection. And if I just don't see in your words in that email that I'm going to get all of your effort, I'm not going to waste my time with you. It doesn't matter what you pay me. You're going to get my heart, my soul, my knowledge, and my time. And I want some sacrifice out of you. I want your effort, and I want your willingness to stick to the program. So if everyone out there who has an interest in working with me, no matter what your goals may be, no matter what your current level of physical fitness is, if you want to make improvements, send me an email and see if we can get you into the coaching program. Those of you that have listened to my advice and purchased a copy of my favorite nutrition book, Fat Loss Happens on Monday by Josh Hillis, will see that a lot of my nutrition coaching ideas will be very much in line with Josh. We had a lot of fun when we did our interview because we found that a lot of our thoughts and ideas were very much in line. And if you haven't picked up a copy of that book yet, you can get it right at audiblepodcast.com/Saratalk. Absolutely free. Go to that link, audiblepodcast.com/Saratalk, and sign up for a free 30-day trial, and you can download one free audiobook. There's a lot of other great books on there, but this is a very, very valuable tool. Fat Loss Happens on Monday by Josh Hillis and Dan John. I'm still working on that biography of Mick Jagger I mentioned a few weeks ago, and I'm loving it. Great book. And now, let's get to that interview with 3-time Olympian Arlene Semeco. And my guest today, for the second time, 3-time Olympian Arlene Semeco. Thank you so much for taking time to do the interview with me today, Arlene.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's an amazing thing to me every time I talk about you or mention you to someone that 3 times competing in the Olympics. That's just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it's been a crazy experience.
How old were you when you started competing?
I was 15 when I actually started competing nationally back in my native country. And I started actually doing international swimming when I was 18.
Okay. How did your preparation from that point when you were 18 change to, say, your last Olympics, 2012? Was that correct?
Yeah, that was the last Olympics.
So how did it all change, your preparation? Because I know as you get older, even though you're still a very young woman, I mean, your approach has to change. The injuries are more prevalent.
Well, back in Venezuela, when I started swimming, the training was really hard for me. We were doing doubles. I was kind of juggling between high school and swimming. So it basically was like double training. My actual training time in the morning was at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then my afternoon time was around 5 o'clock in the afternoon after school and all that. So, I mean, it was a long day with school and everything, obviously I was way younger than now. Training-wise, what has changed is the time that I've been in the pool now is shorter time, but more intensity. I used to do a lot of meters back then. It was basically what we were trying to get, a lot of aerobic stuff and sets. So training in the water will be 2+ hours, whereas now is basically 1 hour and 10, not even, you know, sometimes 1 hour and 20. And then training time in the gym is no more than 1 hour. So training in general has slowed down time-wise, but intensity is way more than before. So that's basically how we are trying. And to tell you the truth, like the last Olympics, for the preparation for 2012 to now is way different. Now we're doing a lot of feet work. I dropped my 100 free event, and I'm only concentrating in the 50 free. So now is very much of feet work and a lot of functional training in the gym. No more meters, you know, long hours of swimming. It's more feet work and more weight room time than actual water. So that's the major change, more intensity and less time.
I would guess back when you were in Venezuela, when you were in your teens, all of the training was in the pool. I'm guessing there wasn't a lot of weight training or any other auxiliary training beyond the swimming then.
Yeah, we were doing a lot of water, that's for sure. And then the dry land, which we call the strength and conditioning part of the training, was a lot of cords outside the water. It's elastic cords that simulate kind of the movement of the swimming, but no weight room much. Like, it was very much functional, you know, medicine balls and cords outside the water, but weight room, we stay away from the longest time. I actually started doing weights when I turned probably 17, 18 or something like that. Never when I was 15 or so, we never did any of the weight room.
What is your strength training consist of now? Because most people would think strength training isn't compatible with swimming, but, you know, now we know strength training helps every sport.
Right. We were doing, actually, I was just talking to my coach about that. We're doing a lot of functional training, a lot of body weight instead of actual machines. We don't do much machines at all. Basically, I mean, I'm 31 years old now, and the injury rate is, you know, the risk is way higher now. I'm trying to do a lot of enough weight for me to build muscle, but not enough to get me too bulky because I can feel in the water. My range in the water, like weight-wise, when I feel good, is like 141, 142 pounds. And I build, thankfully, I am, you know, I can build muscle really fast, but I don't need that much weight in the water. So now the majority of the things that we do is very functional and very weight, body weight, more than actual machines. So we do cords, we do medicine balls, we do a lot of core training and core strength. We do a lot of, you know, arms. The kicking part in a 50 free is very important, but more is your ability to rotate in the water and keep your water, your body afloat. And to be able to do that, you need to have a lot of core strength. So a lot of abs and a lot of core strength and lat is a really good, important thing to do.
Do you incorporate any kettlebell work?
I actually do sometimes, but not much, not much. We are actually doing that starting a couple of weeks from now. We call it Power Day when we do a lot of kettle work and we do like sled, running with sled and pushing, you know, heavy stuff. We sometimes push a truck, but very sprinty, very, you know, high resistance, but sprint work. We're going to start doing that a couple of weeks from now. We don't do it all season long. We just do it a couple of weeks before the race. So I'm actually, my next event or my next competition is going to be in July. It's going to be the Pan American Games. So we're working towards that. And at that point, the goal is to make the cut for the Olympics at that point. So,
okay, so we're shooting for our fourth Olympic Games?
Yeah, that will be the fourth Olympic Games.
That's incredible. What is the record? Do you know, for a swimmer, how many games to compete in?
That is a good question. There are a lot of, actually for 2012, I was training with Dara Torres, and she competed in 5 Olympics. So I think the record, I believe, is 5 Olympics. I think she, for the swimmer, I think she was the oldest swimmer to swim ever, and have the most Olympics in her belt. So I think that's 5. If I'm not forgetting, it will be 5 Olympics will be the record. I don't know if I can make 5 Olympics, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, if you're talking about the woman that lives in Coral Springs, she's like 47, 48 years old, I believe?
Yeah, she's 47 now.
Okay, yeah, and she lives in Coral Springs. She was all over the news as like the local hero after the last games because of her age and everything.
Correct. She was training. I mean, we actually were partners since 2007. And we trained for Beijing in 2008 and all the way to London. And then she retired after trials in 2012. She didn't qualify for that game, for those games.
Okay. That's exciting, though, the idea of, there's so many athletes all over the world that would dream of competing in one Olympic Games. And the fact that you've been there 3 times and getting ready for your 4th is just, do you know how amazing you are?
I've been told I'm pretty amazing, but yeah, no, I think it's a good record to have. I mean, 3 Olympics so far has been a great experience, and having my 4th one will be a good story to tell. So I'm excited and I'm looking forward to go.
Which one was your favorite games to compete in?
Competition-wise, Beijing for sure. I made semifinals and I got 12th in the world, so that was a really good experience. The first one definitely was that excitement of the first Olympics. It was in Athens. It was a beautiful, beautiful setting. So I will say my favorite swimming-wise was Beijing, but my, experience and, overall satisfaction, just because it was my first, it was Athens.
Okay. And out of the 3 cities, I think Athens is probably the most beautiful city.
It was gorgeous. Athens is just amazing. And we stayed a couple of days after, and it was just a beautiful city to see and to walk around. It was a great experience overall.
I've never been to London or to Beijing, but I've been to Athens twice, and I would be glad to go back again.
For sure. London was a really nice city too, but you can't beat it. Athens is just gorgeous.
How has your nutrition changed in your training over the years? Obviously you know much more now because of your education, but your nutrition plan and program when you were younger versus now, supplementation, do you use any supplements?
That's a very interesting question, because I was actually talking about that with one of my clients, and the fact of the matter is that I was never that person that will be looking for supplements or trying to get even multivitamins in. I was that kid that will forget everything. And I didn't really think I needed it at that point. And actually went to the first two Olympics, I barely did any supplements. Now for London, I started doing more supplements. And I can tell you that from London 2012 to now, I incorporated all that I've learned so far in nutrition with my master's degree and everything into this. And nutrition-wise has changed a lot. Obviously, for when I was a kid and even 2004 when I was like just a sophomore or freshman year in college, I barely did anything. I took care of any of my nutrition. I was always a good eater. I will never go for, junk food or anything like that, but I definitely was more conscious about what I was eating once I started learning about nutrition. So as far as nutrition goes now, I eat super, super clean. I don't really go out of my diet. It kind of became a lifestyle, so it really doesn't cost me much to stick into a routine. And supplement-wise, I definitely do more supplements than I ever done in my life. And I was doing nothing before. And I really don't do much. I do the basics, but I can definitely tell the difference how as you get older, you need more of, nutrition support for sure.
What do you think of the various joint support products, the glucosamine chondroitin type products?
Those are definitely good products. I actually, when I was working in Miami, we created one that it was the glucosamine and curcumin. And it actually is a great, you know, joint support. I really think it will help. Definitely, you know, it helps support the joints and cartilage. But, I mean, you just have to be careful. As you grow older, it doesn't matter what you do. You got to be careful, and injury risk is just super high. So, but it definitely helps you and, you know, support your joints as long as you're doing smart training.
Okay. Do you currently use one of those products? Because I would think all of your training is repetition after repetition, and it's got to be rough on your joints.
Yeah, I actually do. I actually had a shoulder surgery and injury back in 2008, right before the Olympics. It was like 8 months before the Olympics, and I know how necessary it is to get, you know, kind of support for your joints. Swimming is very hard in your shoulders. That's what we have more problems with, and the injuries in swimming is basically your shoulder joints. So I do take it. I take it routinely. Like, it's just a everyday support. But thank God everything has been going well and the shoulders have pulled on. And, you know, it's been good. It's only the left shoulder that I had problem with. My right one is being good. And now after surgery, everything has been going okay. So knock on wood, everything goes well.
Excellent. I'm just curious for my own use, because 40 years of weight training, my elbows hate me. Can you recommend a good glucosamine type product, good joint support product?
You know, there is one that is very common. It's called Move. That's a very common one. It has glucosamine and MSM. I would recommend that for you. It's definitely just a simple, basic supplement that you can use. It doesn't have much more additives, and it's very clean. That's the one I use. However, I use also one that I helped design when I was working in Miami Research down in Miami. I had the opportunity to create one. It's called VitaMD. And it has a really good dosage for curcumin and glucosamine and MSM. So that's a good product to use too. And I know, you know, the manufacturers, I really trust manufacturer that we use. So that could be a good solution, but definitely Move is the one that is most common use around, and it has really good reviews and reputation.
Okay. Do you know who makes it off the top of your head?
Move. No, I don't remember exactly who makes it, but I think you just, you know, you can search it for Move and you'll have it.
Simple enough. That carb product that you had talked about in our first interview, several of my clients started using it and they were very happy with it. And they said to thank you.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so happy to hear. Great. I'm a fan of Vitargo. I really love it. And it's part of that one is like the main part of my supplement that I use now. Is they come up with a Vitargo Post. Is a combination of carbohydrate and protein, whey protein. Mm-hmm. And it has a good ratio for recovery. So if you can recommend that to your clients, that will be awesome too. For after workout, it's a great ratio of protein to carbohydrate. The one that I recommended last time when we talked was only the carbohydrate product, which is a good thing for the diabetic people and population that has to work out to keep the sugar up. So it's a great pre-workout, and this one pre-enduring, and this is a great post-workout recovery supplement. It just came out a couple of months ago, so it's a good thing to try if you can.
Okay. I don't really have any use for a pre-workout. I tend to avoid high-carb products because I get fat easily, but I've been looking for a good post-workout amino or protein type thing, so I'll look into that myself.
Perfect.
I'm going to hit you with one last question because I know you're real short on time, and because this one's so short, you know I'm going to bother you again in a few months to talk to me some more.
That's totally fine. You can bother me. I love a certain brand that I use. I don't know if you want to know the brand, but it's a great basic. Yeah. I do Nordic Naturals. Is a great product. It's called, the one that I use is called Omega Sport, which has a really good ratio of DHA and EPA. It's a very high concentrated omega, so I think it's a great support for joints too, and it just, it definitely plays a great part of my supplementation. I believe everybody needs to have omegas, and that's actually one of the supplements that I recommend for my clients. If they're not allergic to any of the fish, any fish at all, they need to use omegas. I recommend probiotics and omegas as the go-to basic supplements to do. So, I always use them every day.
Do you use a purely omega-3 or do you use a 3-6-9 complex?
Omega-3.
That's what I thought. We get enough omega-6s in food that we need the 3 to counteract, I believe.
Correct.
And since you mentioned it, which probiotic do you like best? There's so many on the market.
They are so many. I actually tried to get my probiotics from, I don't know how you pronounce it, Kefir, I don't know. But I use that and I use Greek yogurt. But if you have to go for a supplementation and a brand, I will go for the ones that are refrigerated in any of the, vitamin shops. The ones that are refrigerated are more stable and they're more active than the normal ones that you can find in the store, like Cold Trail, that you don't need to refrigerate. So I recommend my clients to go for the ones that you have to keep in the fridge. But, I mean, certain brand, I don't necessarily have to go to any of them. I like the one that they sell in Whole Foods, and if I'm not mistaken, it's Jared. I think that's the brand. I can't email you with the actual name, but if I'm not confused or blanked out right now, I think it's Jared, and it has like a really good count of probiotics. So, and it has worked for me right now. Like, I actually use just kefir or Greek yogurt to do my probiotics, but if I go to competitions when I know I won't have any, source of Greek yogurt or kefir, I try to go for those supplements.
Okay. Well, we've covered all of your basic supplementation and covered all the supplements that the average person should be taking, the omegas, a good probiotic, something for joint health. And we have gone past the amount of time.
Multivitamin.
Yes. We have to have a good basic multivitamin in there as well.
Correct.
Have a personal favorite?
No, I don't give my clients any brand specifically, whatever really works for them. I use a Clean Athlete multivitamin just because I know, the source is a really good manufacturer and they are actually tested for advanced systems. So I really do that, but I mean, if anybody, all multivitamins are pretty much the same, but I will do Clean Athlete as the brand of choice.
Okay. All right. Well, we've covered a lot of information in a very short time, and my guest today has been 3-time Olympian, soon to be 4-time Olympian, Arlene Semeco. And Arlene, thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with me.
Thank you so much for calling me, Bill. It was a pleasure.
We will have Arlene back in the future, and I will keep you all appraised as to how she does in the Pan Am Games and her journey to that amazing 4th Olympics. It just amazes me. It truly does. There are so many thousands of athletes in the world whose ultimate dream would be to compete in 1 Olympic Games, and very few actually get to do that. Whether they win or lose or place high or place low, to actually get to 1 Olympic Games is an amazing achievement. And this lady has competed in 3 and is now hopefully going to be competing in her 4th. Truly amazing. I'm proud to know her. And now, let's talk about next week's show. For those of you that are very observant and actually do pay attention to what I'm saying, you must have noticed that the guest that I mentioned last week was not the guest I featured this week. We had a little change in plans and juggled things around a bit. But next week, I will be featuring an interview with an extraordinary lady Her name is Lilu Jubisic. She is a 5-time Paralympic athlete, multiple world champion and Paralympic champion, as well as serving as an athlete's advocate on the Paralympic Committee, as well as the IOC, the International Olympic Committee. We will have her here next week. I want to thank you all for listening, like always. This has been Bill. You've been listening to this week's episode of Real World Fitness. Hope to see you back here again next week. Real World Fitness is a production of the Serotalk Podcast Network in cooperation with CosiabaFitness.com. All questions, comments, and feedback should be submitted to resources@serotalk.com. If you're listening on a mobile device, use your iBlink radio app to submit an iReport. Promotional consideration paid for by Audible.com.